Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Nathan Totten. I'm joined, as always, by my regular assistant, Nick Harris. By my lovely assistant, yeah. Nick Harris. And we're joined... What?
Thank you.
And we're joined today by Boris Scholl, who's program manager on the Visual Studio Windows Azure tools, diagnostics tools.
Visual Studio tools.
Microsoft Visual Studio tools
for Windows
Azure. I totally
forget by the time
it's too long. It's too long.
Right, man.
Yes, perfect. So today you're gonna talk to us about a bunch of the improvements for diagnostics in Windows Azure. We actually had Scott Guthrie on the show a couple weeks ago when Azure SDK 2.0 came out, and he just basically went through a really quick preview of a bunch of, we made a bunch of enhancements to diagnostics in Visual Studio, and today we're gonna really dive into that. So do you want to give us a little bit of an overview of what you're going to show?
Okay, yeah. So first of all, as you mentioned, we've done some improvements in the SDK 2.0 for diagnostics for cloud services, as well as for diagnostics for Windows Azure websites. Hmm. I'm going to give you like a little bit more insight into how the diagnostics feature in cloud services works, and then I'm also going to show you how a live demo of how the diagnostics feature for Azure websites works.
Cool. Okay. So this is all new stuff as of SDK 2.0, correct? Okay, perfect.
It's been released in April.
In April, cool. Yep. Perfect, okay. Cool, so let's, do you want to dive into the demos?
Initiating startup sequence.
And now, a feature presentation.
So I already prepared a solution. I wrote some code, which is you guys already made
which
fun
Nick
of.
Which Nick was critiquing earlier.
Absolute correct.
As he tends to do.
I think it shows fairly well. I mean, if you write tracing statements in your code, so you should just ignore that I'm saying.
It's just demo code, right?
Exactly. Right, so I have tracing information in there. I have trace errors and all that type of stuff. So I basically put all the trace stuff in my code. So up until now, up until the SDK that was released in April, right, if you just published that solution to Azure and you wanted to see your diagnostics data, nothing would have happened, mm-hmm. right? Because in the 1.8 release or the November release, you had to write some code, either write some code in the role entry point.
Yeah. Right? The diagnostics manager.
Yeah.
Is it monitor? Diagnostics monitor class. Yeah.
Yeah. So it basically, it had to go in here. Let me show you that quickly.
I actually had a friend who sent me a stripped out of all the RP version of his solution to say, why can't I get my diagnostics working? It's like, oh man, why couldn't have this happened in a couple of months when SDK 2 was there? Yeah. So I had to spend like half an hour figuring it out for him.
Yeah, and actually we got a lot of requests from customers that we should make that easier, and that's absolutely in line with the Azure platform improvement. So we want to go away from the coded approach and more going to a configuration type of approach.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, I created that project. I haven't done anything in my project now except added a trace statement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, just to paint a little scenario or picture, mm-hmm. I'm going to do my local debugging. And when the website comes up, you should hopefully see that there is a very vanilla MVC website that shows some products coming out of a database.
Okay, cool.
So this is basically the website, right? It does what I expected. It just gets to my development database and it reaches or it gets some items for my inventory. Very vanilla, right? Mm-hmm. So now I know I want to publish it to Azure because I want to do my first integration test. Let's say I have a database sitting on SQL Azure and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I just want to do some tests to see if it's working in the Azure environment.
Right.
So I would just go in here and publish it, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the sake of time, I've already done it. And again, I have nothing set up with regards to diagnostics, right? And then assuming it's published, hit publish, right? Mm-hmm. And then I go to that website. Once it is published, can go to view in browser. Let's go to view in browser. I get an error.
Yeah, that looks a lot like when Nate codes stuff.
It was working locally, right?
Yeah.
It's a very common problem, though.
It happens quite frequently with deploy something. We don't know, is it a config setting? Is do we have our database created properly? Like, could
is
be any
it
number
a connection
of things.
String to a local SQL Express or something.
Yep. And normally we would. I mean, in the past we would have to edit it, edit the config, redeploy, etc. So I expect you're going to show us something that makes that a lot easier.
Yes. Again, our scenario is really optimized for the developer scenario. In that particular case, error occurs, right? Mm-hmm. The whole application is deployed to Azure. So up until SDK 2.0, I had no way of knowing, hey, what's causing the error, right? Yeah. If I hadn't set up diagnostics. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Nate also deploys with custom errors off. You know. So you can see the YSOD.
That's one way you can do it.
So now what I can do is I can actually go in here in my Server Explorer, and I have my Windows Azure Compute node. I mean, you guys are all familiar with that. I have my cloud service, right? Typical commands. Then I have my web role and my instances. Okay. So now on the web role, we have a new command which shows view diagnostics data.
Cool.
So we're getting the diagnostics data, and right away we're going to present you, hey, there was an error. Because I have the trace statements in my code, right? Those errors are basically being caught and transferred into storage. For those of you who are familiar with how Azure Diagnostics works, so the errors are locked to the local VM, and then once you configure it, it's being transferred into the storage.
Okay.
So is by default now is the did you have to set up anything to enable the saving of the diagnostics to storage, or is that kind of all set up by default now?
That's all set up. We've always done that.
Okay.
In the role environment, because if I go here, I can show you. So this part is the role designer, right? And we have a diagnostic section. Up until 2.0, we only had the section that said enable diagnostics and had the configuration for the storage account.
Right.
And if you didn't enter a story, or if you didn't enter a storage account here, on publish, we would have used that storage account that you use for publishing.
Yep.
But that feature has always been there,
right? Mm-hmm.
So we're set up in that way. What we do now in 2.0, as you can see, we've extended that. We have errors only, all information, and you can even come up with a custom plan.
Cool.
The errors only really means we're going to log errors for your application, right, based on the trace listener, which is configured in a web config file, as well as errors in the Windows event application source.
Right.
Not more, because we wanted to really keep the cost impact low. Mm-hmm. Right? It should just help you, hey, there is an error.
Because too much, you're using a lot of storage. You can potentially have a lot of transactions, a lot of data in there. But the default's a pretty, I mean, it's a good default. Like, you almost certainly want errors logged. Like, you wouldn't, I mean, I can imagine many situations where you don't want any error logging of any kind.
Yeah. And you want to actually, you can configure it, which I'll show you in a second, right? But in that particular case, just to give you an idea of what we thought about when we designed that summary page, for those of you who are familiar with IntelliTrace, it looks awfully familiar to them. We basically wanted to give you an idea of your application within the last 50 minutes. We thought 50 minutes is a good time frame, right, to surface the data, because if you're in a development scenario, you publish it. Publishing is now way faster, so you don't have to wait like 8 minutes.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And then you publish it to your development slot or development environment on Azure, and then you do some tests, and usually something goes wrong within the first 15 minutes.
Gotcha.
So now, if you want older than 15 minutes, can we?
Yeah, I'll show you that.
Okay.
So again, the summary page only shows the errors. And in that particular case, it says couldn't find stored procedure SP get inventory item. The reason is because I tricked it, right?
Okay.
SQL Azure, the SQL Azure I'm using doesn't know that stored procedure. Mm-hmm. There is a typo in the code.
Okay.
So now I probably want to know, hey, which SQL Server are you using? Think about a development environment, test environment. Why does my SQL Server doesn't know that stored procedure, right? What we can do now is you can go in here and say update diagnostic settings, right? The update diagnostic settings now gets the data out of the blob storage. So the diagnostics configuration is stored in blob storage, and we retrieve the data from that blob storage and display it here.
Okay.
So now you can actually go in here and say, hey, I want to have verbose data, because if you think about the code that I showed you, the not-so-nice code, right, I have trace information statements in there as well, right? And one of the trace information statements is the connection to my SQL Server, what kind of SQL Server I'm using. On that dialogue, I can also adjust the settings for event logs and log levels. I can add performance counters, which we turned off by default, because performance counters, it's really up to the developer what kind of performance counters they want, what kind of performance counters make sense in a certain scenario. And then also depending on the sample rate and the transfer period, it might occur a lot of costs, so we turned that off. As a recommendation, if you really want to get started with performance counters, you should use the ones that make the most sense for your scenario. And then for the transfer period, you should follow what the portal does, right? Yeah. Set it to either 3 minutes, we can even type it in here, right? 3 minutes, and then set the sample rate, which is in seconds, also to 180 seconds.
Yeah.
And then this is like a good starting point.
Okay.
Also, you might notice we have a buffer size, which is set to none, right?
Okay.
That's a very cool feature because that was also source of an issue. Let's say I want to change my buffer size because I need a buffer to write my performance counter data to.
Yep.
Right? So if you look at that status bar here, right? Down here, which says 2048 megabytes remaining, right? If I go here, we basically adjust that. So that basically shows you how much buffer you have available for your diagnostics data and how much is used.
Right.
We even have a very smart thing in there because users who are familiar with Azure Diagnostics, some of them might have run in that situation where the default storage size is 4 gigabytes.
Right.
And they used up 4 gigabytes for the data, and the data wasn't transferred to storage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The reason is because the diagnostics agent needs about 500 megabytes for garbage recycling.
I see.
Right? Yeah. Garbage collection type of things. We have a smart detection logic in there that basically determines what kind of diagnostics agent is deployed.
Right.
And based on that, we either let you use the full 4 gigabytes or we let you use just 3.5.
Oh, perfect.
It's very smart. So you shouldn't get into that situation anymore.
Cool.
What else to say on that one? You can add custom performance counters by following that pattern here.
Okay.
You can just add them. And then you can basically write the settings back. Right. So one word, there is this transfer period and the log level. What that actually means is that the log level is basically the data that now gets transferred from the VM into storage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the logging on the VM is always happening.
It's happening anyway.
Right? So it's just, hey, I just want to get, in that case, I want to get all the data into my storage every minute.
Yep.
Right? So saving it back, and then you can go in here as you see view all data.
Yep.
And then when we do view all data, we actually take you to the table itself. We pre-filter it here,
nice.
As you can see, based on the deployment ID and the role. And now this is a really cool feature. You can even go in here into the query builder and say, hey, now I want to check, or I want to create a new query, right?
Yeah.
So for example, say, let's see, let's take this and say 750, okay, and then say okay. What you need to do then is you need to execute the query, and then you get the data for that, and then you, which is really cool if you have a lot of data to find.
Yeah,
I think most people will really appreciate that it's like zero code required to go and implement this, and you can do it remotely.
Yeah.
Even cooler that it's done through VS. Mm-hmm. I assume that's just generating a XML config and dumping it
up. Yes, I'm going to show you how we do that. So
I was going to just say this is something that a lot of people have used other external tools for or written their own tools for, and it's really nice to just have this right in Visual Studio, like you said, without having to build something yourself or pay for an extra tool or whatever.
I think for us, really, the reason was we wanted to get developers to a point where they basically create a cloud service in Visual Studio and everything is wired up. Mm-hmm. So if they use trace statements in their code, system diagnostics, they get those error messages or information into Visual Studio and they can actually troubleshoot the cloud service while it's running. There's one thing I need to mention here. You probably, I don't know, have you guys heard of the precedence that the diagnostics agent takes? So when we first do a full deployment, let's say there is nothing in my production slot, there is nothing in my cloud service, right? When we do that deployment, we actually send or package that configuration file that answers your question, right?
Okay.
With the default settings. what happens then is, as soon as the deployment is on the VM and the deployment is ready, the diagnostics agent actually grabs that information and updates the blob entry in the VAT container. There is in here, if you look at that storage account, there is a VAT control container. Mm-hmm. And that actually has the configuration, the diagnostics configuration in there. Okay, So we look at that. Let's open it with Notepad. So, and this one is fairly important to understand, because this one always takes precedence. So that means now I've deployed it, right? Mm-hmm. The diagnostics agent used the setting from the configuration file that we package up and updates that blob entry,
right?
Or that blob configuration. Mm-hmm. So now if you do a redeployment, an update deployment, not a full redeployment, but an update deployment, you won't see changes that you make to your configuration setting in that file or through our role designer. And the reason is because the diagnostics agent goes in here and says, hey, I still have an up-to-date configuration. This is the one I'm using. So in the way the diagnostics agent works is it looks at this one first. It looks basically at the blob first. Then it sees, hey, is there code that actually starts my diagnostics configuration manager, or is there a configuration file? So that means, long story short, if you update the diagnostic settings through here, right, you need to do a full redeployment if you want to basically during development time change your diagnostic settings again. And then basically deploy it again, do a full deployment. But that's basically how it works, and it kind of makes sense for the other scenarios, but that's like one caveat you have to consider if you're in development mode. To sum up, we've basically set up diagnostics by default. We show you, we give you a nice view of your diagnostics or your errors summary that you know what went wrong. We allow you to actually update your diagnostics configuration while your cloud service is live. And there's one thing to it, which is even better. So we not just, let's assume I had two instances here, right? I could just update the diagnostic setting for one instance. Because I even have it on that particular instance, that command. And if I'm going to update the diagnostic settings on the role itself, it updates all the instances.
Very cool.
So I'm still, let's go through it one more time. I'm a little bit confused, not sure if everyone else is. If I updated diagnostic settings on the role there, you're saying through Visual Studio, I do or do not need to do a full redeploy?
So if you, let's say, let's paint a picture, right? I just updated it here. Right? I basically, if I go in here, I say update diagnostic settings, and I set it to verbose, right? So now I figured, I looked at my data and I know what went wrong, and I fixed it in my code, So now, if I go to my role designer, you see the same dialog here if I go to custom. But you see this one is still at set at error, right? So now you would think, hey, if this is error and I deploy it again, I do an update deployment, it would set it back to error, my configuration. But it does not. So you need to do a full deployment.
Or set it or set it back manually.
Or set it back manually in here,
Which sort of, I mean, it seems to make sense because it's basically the last thing you edited. If you're doing update deployment, you're probably still testing, you're probably still looking at it, and you don't necessarily want to have to do an update deploy. Oh, did I fix it? Oh, I have to go turn my login back on, see if I see if it's fixed or whatever. You keep going through that process. Whereas if you overwrote it, you would have to like I said, reconfigure it every single time.
And also, I think, for as you mentioned, for the development scenario, I think it's absolutely fine to do a full deployment.
But it's important to it's a very good point to point out, so people understand the process, so that they don't end up leaving on diagnostics when they don't want to in production or something.
So also on that part, that actually happens automatically, the configuration and everything, that everything is wired up, if you create a cloud service. If you start in Visual Studio with File, Project, New, Cloud Service, and then select MVC or one of those web templates or worker role, right? If you Azureify a project, meaning you start with a web project, and then say, Azure Cloud Service, that does not work. The reason for that is you have to do two steps to it. If you did that, you need to go to the web config of that web project and add the Azure Trace Listener to it, because it's not there.
I see. Yeah, it's basically leaves your site as it was. It just deploys it as a cloud service, so you don't have it doesn't mess with your config because you may have some special config you may already have.
That's exactly the point why we didn't do it. We were actually thinking about whether we should do it or not, but then based on the feedback, a lot of customers who are building web projects, they have their own trace listeners already in there, and they have their own logging frameworks or tracing frameworks. We didn't want to mess with that.
Yeah.
Right. We just said, hey, we leave it there. We just enable you to deploy it to cloud. If you want to use Azure Diagnostics, you have to do some manual steps to do that.
Okay.
So this was that part on the cloud services.
It's quite easy. Like I mean, I really like it because before a lot of this stuff, you know, you could have done via, you know, IntelliTrace is great for some scenarios, but for simple things like this, you know, IntelliTrace is kind of too much. You don't really need it. And before, you'd have to, you know, everything was basically a redeploy. Do I redeploy with IntelliTrace turned on? You know, do I change my config, redeploy? This is something that you can do even in a production environment, really. Like if you had some problem you wanted to investigate without doing a redeploy, just change a little bit in your config, view the diagnostics, and you could sort of solve a problem. So I really like how it's very lightweight, it's very easy to do, very fast and quick.
Yep.
Cool.
So the next demo I have for you, that's actually a fairly quick one, is, as we mentioned, we've also done some improvements for websites, Azure websites. So switching projects. This is a sole website project. There is no cloud project to it, right? Just a web project. So let's go open in an Explorer and go to the website. I already deployed it. I think I did.
And then you do deployments daily to that.
Right. So this is it, right? And that one actually works. So there is no error, because I want to point out one feature which I really think those guys have, it's amazing, which blows me away. So we have that new Azure Websites node in Server Explorer, and Scott pointed that out, right? It's really a huge improvement. But what I really like about that is it shows my Cloud Cover Diagnostics Azure website, right? And then I can go in here and say view streaming log in output window, right?
Yep.
And this is actually quite cool, because it says it's not having any traces right now, but if I'm going to, because you remember I have some trace statements in my code, right?
Yep.
Let's do a full refresh here. And then it should actually come up here, right?
Cool.
SQL connection open, SQL connection closed, and that.
And this is in real time.
This is real time.
Yep, very cool.
So this is actually, I like that a lot, because I remember when I was in the field, as we talked before, I was in the MTC, and what we've done is basically we put some trace messages in queues trying to figure out what's going on during runtime, right? And this is actually really awesome.
Yeah, cool.
Amongst those settings, you can also go in here and say view settings, and here you have similar settings as we have. You can basically say application log, logging, what you want, verbose errors and stuff like that.
And you'll get in this, you'll get more than trace too. If there is an error to the site, you'll actually get like a bunch of error information printed out right there in real time. So you don't have to go, and again reconfigure your site or you know do the turn off custom errors which is what a lot of people do. You can kind of see all that right there without leaving Visual Studio, without even going to the Windows Azure portal, which is great.
Really cool.
Cool. And you can do the same thing for those who haven't seen. You can also do the same thing. You can do the log streaming from the command line as well if you want. But this really brings it into Visual Studio. So if you're deploying from Visual Studio, all your diagnostics, it's right there in one tool. So cool. It's a simple feature, but I've already used this probably five times in the week.
Because
I write
simply,
awful code.
Probably very difficult to implement.
You guys, it's just a few lines of code. It's super easy to use is what I mean. Absolutely. Yeah. So cool. Anything else? Like I think, wasn't really that complicated, I think, is really the point, right? It's very easy to use all this stuff. It's super easy to do diagnostics on both cloud services and websites, which is awesome for developers now. So
again, just think about if you use trace statements, systems diagnostics in your code, which most of developers do, right?
Yeah.
You're set up everything is set up for you in a cloud service project or even in a web project now, which is a huge help, I think. The only thing, as I pointed out, really in a cloud service that you need to keep in mind is if you update your configuration from Server Explorer on runtime, you might want to switch it back manually, or you just make your adjustments in the role designer and then do a full redeployment.
Is there when I do that configuration, is there an API or something that I'm hitting in the role, or does the diagnostics periodically just pull the blob to see if there's changes?
So what's happening here is actually, if we talk about this one, right, update diagnostic settings, we're using the diagnostics management API.
Okay.
And they write straight to that blob container that I showed you.
You can use a remote configuration something or other.
Okay. And so then that's how it updates the role. So if you were to update the blob manually, would it pick, it doesn't pick it up, correct? I mean, if you were just I'm just trying to understand how it kind of works.
There is, so in that blob entry itself, there is a flag.
Okay.
That indicates whether that one needs to be updated or not.
Okay.
So, but I don't really encourage people to mess with that.
Don't edit, man. I'm just asking if you
use
did.
The methods available, right? Use the management APIs. Use the tools or use the portal, and then you're on the safe side. Because I think as soon as you start messing around with that VAT control container XML type of stuff, you're like on very dangerous territory.
Cool. Nate likes to waste time, so he'll probably do that.
So then you actually have to
I was wondering.
You have to troubleshoot diagnostics then, right?
No, I was just curious as to how, you know, was Diagnostics Manager pulling blob every second or something? I mean, that's really, because that would have been quite expensive, really, is the point I guess I was trying to make. So it's much more sophisticated than that, and not super expensive.
Very cool.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Really, really great stuff. And we look forward to even further improvements coming in the future. I'm sure.
Definitely.
I'm sure you've got more stuff coming down the road.
Cool.
So cool. Well, thank you. Do you have? Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not.
No. Oh man. No.
What's going on with these guys?
I don't know. The last show we recorded. They Guru and
Kent.
Yeah. Kent didn't have Twitter either. So yeah, I got to get on this Twitter thing. It's kind of a big deal now. So
I heard about it.
Yeah. So as always, though, follow us on Cloud at Cloud Cover Show on Twitter. And like us on Facebook, and feel free to comment or email Nick your complaints.
Yep.
And
I've got a forward rule for them to go to Nate.
Great. Perfect. So thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
I think there'll be a lot of happy developers out there seeing this stuff.
Cool.
Enjoy.